Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks podcast, the independent soccer show bringing you opinionated English Premier League analysis. Here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
You are listening to the Two Daft Yanks podcast. Greetings to you wherever you may be. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Daft Yanks studios. And I'm very pleased to welcome back my co-host after 2 weeks off, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Yeah, people probably thought you were getting rid of me, but, life's throwing me some curveballs at the moment. And then last week I was off at the Jazz Fest, so I'm looking for, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Music Festival. So I'm looking forward to giving my po' boy scouting report later. So, I'm sure everybody's going to be, eager to hear that.
That's right. We'll be scouting some cuisine and some beer from your trip at the end. So let's get a round of applause for your comeback, and a thank you to Mr. Jim Hart for filling in for you. And then the following week, a thank you to John Curtis for coming on the show. I guess he was technically my co-host, even though I was interviewing him. But a thank you to him to coming on the show. So let's fire up the crowd and let's talk some footy.
Yeah, and before we get started with actual footy, we also want to give a little shout out to my friend Victor Ruiz on the Galaxy of Geeks podcast for giving me and us a shout out on their podcast. So, like for like, man, got to help people that help you out.
Yes, fair play, sir. And everybody, if you like the Game of Thrones, as long as you're not one of those people who's like, Game of Thrones is all passed up, it's rubbish, blah, blah, blah.
Boo, you don't know what you're talking about, people.
Check out his podcast. Good stuff.
Yeah, Star Wars, too. They're big Star Wars geeks.
So, all right. So let's get to some site news here, Corey.
Sure.
For those of you who follow us on Twitter, and if you don't, please follow us at Two Daft Yanks, where we do all kinds of daft opinions in 140 characters or less. You'll be seeing that we've been tweeting out a lot of graphics, some great graphics. We are now an official partner with the website Sporticos. So you can go there, sporticos.com, and they are a soccer infographic company, and they have teamed up with us, and we are allowed to use their great graphics. And they have even made me, Corey, they have named me their Tottenham Hotspur expert. And you could go to sporticos.com and read pre- and post-match my thoughts on the Spurs match. So a round of applause for them. We're very pleased to have them on a board, and I know that their graphics have been received really well on Twitter. They're great looking. They're simple, and we will be using them for a good long while. So thank you to Sporticos. Welcome aboard to the TDY family. And Corey's so impressed, he's quiet.
Wow, well, yeah, I just don't know what else to say. I think you just, you gave him a pretty good, introduction and compliments. I don't know what else to say.
I did. That's fine. And a second side announcement here. Be coming this week, I will have a blog and perhaps maybe two. And also on Twitter, be looking for this great hashtag of this grassroots movement that we're part of here at TDY. Hashtag Pro Rel Week, which is going to take place in occurrence with the opening round of the U.S. Open Cup here. And we're getting a lot of supporter groups of lower division clubs to show their support for Pro Rel Week. So if you don't know what that is, go onto Twitter, search hashtag Pro Rel Week, and you'll start to get some information on there about what that's all about. And in the coming days, I will have a blog post up on TDY telling what you can do out there to help support Pro Rel Week and raise awareness for open pyramids and how they're so freaking awesome.
Yeah, you mean like actually growing the game, not just a some marketing phrase that really means grow the MLS?
No, that's true. And that's
growing the actual sport
from the bottom up. And that's what makes this great, is that we got this together through the Pro Rel USA movement. And we have a great group of people who are working hard to accomplish some pretty good things, I'm hoping, as long as we're not shut out by the MLS overlords, of course.
Yeah, hopefully that the I was, you know, hopefully my half-joking conspiracy tweet about banner regulations coming in at the same time that pro-rel banners start popping up, you know, will only be a half joke. But, you know, if your banners get banned, I want to know too, because like I said, I'm curious, because I kind of think some of the regulations are because pro-rel banners are starting to pop up more.
That's right.
But that's just me being cynical.
That's right. So hashtag pro-rel week, join the family. And if you have questions about it, you could get in touch with me at @2daftyanks on Twitter, and we will get you in touch with the people so you know what you need to do. But it's all grassroots, and there's really just show your support for the movement. Get out to the games, and let's show U.S. soccer that we are ready for a change in this country, and we want real football that is open and equal for all.
Yeah, more open opportunities and less cartels.
All right, let's gun that out. All right, let's talk about some actual footy here, Corey.
All right.
While you were gone, the semifinals of the FA Cup were contested at Wembley. I didn't get to see either game because Fox put it on FS2. Hey, thanks. Thanks, FS2. I was able to listen to them, though, through Talk Sport on the interwebs, and that was entertaining. But the fact that FS2 was used for an FA Cup semifinal when – my Fox station was showing stuff like, you know, NASCAR practice, and the local Fox affiliate, like, you know, Fox was showing infomercials. They pay all this money and then put it on a channel behind a paywall. Makes absolute no sense. That's a Fox rant. No TDY show is complete without a rant against Fox.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably had a lot to do with Manchester United being the only, you know, established big club left in the competition. And, you know, I'm sure some guy who fancies himself smart at Fox marketing probably thought that, oh, well, nobody's going to watch since it's Watford and Everton and Crystal Palace are the only other three teams left.
Maybe. And that could have been part of the equation. Who's to say?
Yeah. Cause strangely enough, I was able to catch both matches on a replay, but I'm trying to remember if that was on FS1 or FS2 because, you know, since I don't live in New Orleans anymore, I don't know all the channels since they're all different now on, you know, on my mom's cable box. So I don't remember if I was watching FS1 or FS2.
Gotcha. Well, the moral of the story is Crystal Palace were victorious over Watford and Manchester United were the winners against Everton in a heart-stopping stoppage time goal. By he could be like an $80 million man when it's all said and done, and Martial.
Something like that. Yeah, the second Ballon d'Or, the second early Ballon d'Or season winner, whatever.
That's right. So
before Marcus Rashford came on and is now the current Ballon d'Or for Man U.
Yeah, so when we get back to Wembley here in a few weeks, what is your opinion? How do you rate this Crystal Palace versus Manchester United FA Cup final?
I mean, I'm going to watch, but I think Man U is going to win fairly easily because, I personally think Alan Pardew is kind of he's a bottler. So, I don't know. I would expect Man U to win, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3-0, 3-1.
Okay. And that would be great because that would cement them either through league place or through winning the FA Cup into the Europa League. Is that not right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know about the rules anymore, but I think that would be the case.
Yeah, I would say I don't know how that works anymore because it seems like they change all the placings tied to the cup winners every year. So I'm not sure how that is now.
So Thursday night football for Manchester United.
Yeah.
Under a new manager, perhaps, maybe Mourinho.
Yeah, Europa League. Now people care.
They would. Yeah, they will. Remember when Chelsea won it? Oh, it was so great.
What's I'm saying? Because
Oh, we lost you there. You got knocked off.
Uh-oh.
You're saying it's great.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, Europa League, people care about it now that – or people continue to care more about it because Liverpool's in the semis this year. And with, you know, if Man U's in it 2 years in a row, now they'll care even more.
That's right. Thursday night football is not just for Spurs anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
I can laugh at myself.
Well, yeah, it's going to be all in Leicester in the Champions League final next year, isn't it?
Ooh, I like it. An all England final.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'm down for that. You could put me down for that. I'd take that right now, especially since I know Leicester, who are now your champions elect, we should say. We should give a round of applause. They are worthy champions. A lot of people may not think they are. I think they're still pretty disrespected. But they are worthy champions, and barring the biggest meltdown in the history of meltdowns, they're going to do this. So a round of applause to them.
Yeah, I mean, they made plenty of statements already, but I think they made a pretty big statement, winning 4-0 without Vardy. Although I was predicting, you know, I predicted all week long that missing Vardy wasn't going to be that big of a deal.
No. But it also helps when Swansea is already on vacation and pretty much gifted them two goals. But, hey, they still would have won 2-0 without those two gifted goals. So, hey.
Yeah, and there again, you can only play who's in front of you, so –
very true. And they got a good draw there because, I mean, Swansea was, I mean, dreadful. I mean, really. Woo!
Could have been worse. They could have got Martin Fulop on loan for the game.
They could have, yeah.
Thanks for the goals, Martin. Never forget.
All right, there's that. So, other game matches that were played this week, we have the Champions League semifinals, Corey, and two absolute snoozer rubbish matches. Your first one, I can't even remember it was so bad. I guess it was Real. Was that the first one? Was it the Real City game was the first matchup?
Yes. I don't remember because I was off. But
okay. Yeah, no, it was Real Madrid and Manchester City playing to a 0-0 draw at Manchester City.
Yeah, it was at the Etihad.
Yes, at the Etihad. And Ronaldo was out of that match. So now they're going to return back to Madrid for the second leg. And it is still up in the air if Ronaldo will play or not. But you got to think coming in level.
Benzema might be out as well.
Benzema is out from what I've read. But they still what? Oh, my goodness.
Bring in somebody like Isco.
Yeah, you bring in Isco or bring in James to play off the bench. I mean, good Lord. Move Bale to striker. Some real slim pickings for Real Madrid at home.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was kind of a, you know, obviously it was a big occasion, but it was pretty much of a snoozer. And as I tweeted during the match, you know, I was more enthralled with Sons of Anarchy reruns than the actual match. So, I mean, I had it on, but it was kind of in the background. But, yeah, like I said, it was, all things being equal, is a pretty dull match.
And Wednesday's match between Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid was almost as bad. We did get a goal, though.
Yeah, that one I missed because I was in the midst of air travel, but and I was too cheap to buy the GoGo in-flight internet this time.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. No one will fault you for that. That's like, what, 20 large?
Yeah, what I think the full day pass is $20, but I hadn't eaten the po' boy yet, so I was saving up all my po' boy money, you know.
Gotcha. So now Atletico Madrid will go. I think that game was. I don't even know what the heck is going on. It was so boring. Where was that game at? I don't even remember.
No idea. Like I said, I was, you know.
Holy moly!
Moving 600 miles a minute.
I think Atletico was at home.
I was at 30,000 feet. I have no idea where
the game was. In fact, I know they were. So now they got to go back to Byron. So do you think Byron can turn that around at home? Can they score two?
Yes.
Yes? You think they might be able to?
Yeah, it's not the 1970s anymore where a 1-0 victory at home was, you know, was a pretty safe thing. you know, where you could kick it around in your own half for half an hour, and the goalie could pick it, you know, and you know, you could back pass to the goalie, and he could play around with it for 5 minutes.
Man, Byron would be really good at that with the skills that Neuer has.
Well, yeah, well, that's why
they're really missing out.
That's why playing Italian teams in European competition was always a pain in the ass, because you'd lose the ball and you might not get it back for half an hour because they would just kick it around the back line.
Yeah. Outstanding. So, yeah, so hopefully next week with things on the line, both teams, I think that's the problem when you get in these big matches, especially when you have big clubs. They don't want to make that mistake, right? Instead of playing to win, they play not to lose. And then you get matches like we just saw, which is disappointing.
Yeah, they tend to play in those kind of, you know, kind of like they used to play in the old days. They tend to attack in small groups rather as a full unit, as, you know, a lot of modern tactics do. So, you know, a lot of times you just get attacks with two or three people.
Exactly. So let's hope for some better footy next week, because we need it. Right. If this is the marquee, you know, everybody's gaga about the Champions League. I'm not so much. I know you're definitely not.
Yeah, so I guess, because, you know, I'm the asshole that doesn't. Yeah. You know, that's more concerned with the league than the Champions League.
I mean, I only like it when Spurs are in, and Spurs have only been once. So. And we had a good time, because guess what? Tottenham didn't give a crap. They're like, heck, we're here for the first time. Let's just go attack. And it got them pretty far for the talent they had. So. I wish more teams would be like that, but unfortunately, it's too risky, and people don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah, and especially when you get to the, you know, latter stages, a lot of times it's kind of like why the El Clasico is sometimes overrated for people like me, because you get, you know, a little too much histrionics than actual action.
Yeah, I really hope we don't get another Real versus Atletico game. Even though that actually was a pretty good match when that happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. But, you know, sometimes when you get to, again, not directly saying that just the El Clasico, but.
Oh,
again,
you could say it. It's okay.
But yeah, just meaning that sometimes when you get the big matchups, because they're so scared to lose, you get a lot of the histrionics and trying to buy penalties and free kicks and all that stuff.
No, that is the case. So, yeah, as I said, and this will wrap this up, and we'll gun it out. Improve all four sides. Let's play some footy, and I think we will, because you got to go out and score goals now. Both sides do, or all four sides need goals. So next week could be pretty entertaining. So let's gun that out. And let's get into the meat of the show here, Corey. This past weekend, the PFA Awards for England were handed out, and the PFA, for those who don't know, is the Pro Footballers Association, and it is the Team of the Year, the Player of the Year, and the Young Player of the Year as voted by the players. So let's start with the Player of the Year Award. Corey, who won that sucker?
Who was it? It was...
You don't know?
Jamie Vardy? Yeah, no, I don't know.
No. Like, oh, you don't know?
Harry Kane?
No, it was Mahrez.
Okay, yeah, it was Mahrez.
Mahrez from Leicester City won it, and it was no surprise. And you and I have been talking him up. I think it might have even been in November or December. We said, hey, pound for pound, if he keeps this up, he's the guy who should win this award, and he has. So I'm very happy that he did, because he was by far the most all-around best player in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, it was around January when it looked like Mesut Ozil was going to run away with the Premier League assist record. And I caught some flack from some buddies, you know, from some Arsenal Twitter buddies saying, oh, how could you say Mahrez is the best player when Ozil's going to run away with the assist record? It's like, well, you know, one, I'm not, you know, I like my team, I like my players, but I'm not biased I can be objective when I need to be, and yeah, I mean, Mahrez, I mean, that was part of the reason I didn't think, you know, Leicester was going to miss Vardy that much in these last couple games, because the heart and soul of that team is actually N'Golo Kante and Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, and Mahrez was outstanding, even though he has kind of tailed off the last, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, but still on the record of things, scoring goals, setting up assists.
Well, yeah, because
incredible stuff.
Yeah, everybody kept saying, oh, you know, Leicester's going to have, you know, their leading goal scorer, Jamie Vardy, out, but people forget that, you know, Mahrez had 16 goals going into Saturday.
Yeah, and that's a guy that Leicester City got, I forget from where in France, but it was under £1 million.
Yeah, 700,000, I think.
Yeah, and that's incredible.
700,000.
That's an incredible story for a guy to come, you know, out of a mid-table French club, and then a couple years later, he's the player of the year in the Premier League. So yeah, that shows you what can happen.
Good, like 3 years ago.
He was. That is correct. So congratulations to Mahrez. I'm happy to see it. And we both predicted that he should win it. And you never know how these votes are going to go, but let's just talk about that now.
Yeah, I kind of thought Kane was going to win it later since he had been in pretty good goal scoring form. I thought that was going to, you know, because sometimes the, you know, the what have you done for me lately effect or whatever you want to call it takes over. So I kind of thought Kane was going to nip it since he had been in good goal scoring form lately.
Yeah, you never know how this is going to go because the players vote on this. So the writers haven't voted yet. Their voting process is ongoing. But how do you gauge these or how do you value this player vote? Does it mean more to you than the writers knowing that these players who are getting voted have the respect of their peers?
Yeah, I mean, as a former athlete, I mean, your fellow professionals and your fellow athletes, not that I was an athlete at the professional level, but, you know, it's always – you know, it goes back to the ancient warrior code. You know, the respect of your opponents and your teammates is always more than sports writers. And it's, I know sports writers, you know, especially nowadays, think really high on themselves. And just because they, you know, they consider themselves, you know, the pundits and the experts from years of observation, which sometimes is true. And then sometimes, you know, their opinions are utter rubbish. But yeah, I mean, like I said, as a former athlete, the opinions of your fellow athletes are always more, or, you know, the opinions of your fellow, you know, whatever skill or trade you're in, it's, you know, the opinions of your, you know, your colleagues and your fellow tradesmen, as it were, are always more important than the people, you know, that make opinions for a living or that write opinions for a living.
Gotcha. And in case you did not know, we'll name the other finalists who Mahrez beat out. That would be Dimitri Payet from West Ham, Harry Kane from Tottenham, Jamie Vardy, his teammate at Leicester, Mesut Ozil at Arsenal, and then Conte at Leicester too. So that's amazing. Three Leicester players in line for player of the year. Wow.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can argue with any of those. I mean, you know, Ozil's tailed off at the last couple months, but you know, I mean, arguably he had, like I was alluding to earlier, I mean, he was arguably one of the potential players of the year behind Mahrez in the first half of the season. And I do think it should be, you know, that the whole season should be taken into account, not just a closer or who had the better, you know, recent form.
I got you. So do you take exception that they vote for this with, you know, 4 or 5 games left in the season?
A little bit, but I mean, you know, 30 whatever games out of 38 is a pretty decent sample size. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily, it's kind of like sometimes when they vote on a man of the match before somebody scores the winner in injury time, it doesn't necessarily mean that man of the match is wrong. You know, just because somebody doesn't score a winner, that's going to grab all the headlines. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it being voted on before the season ends.
Gotcha. All right, let's move on to the Young Player of the Year award. And I don't know, what's the cutoff for that? Is it like 23?
Yeah, I think it's 23.
Okay, your finalist for that this year was Dele Alli of Tottenham Hotspur, Harry Kane of Tottenham Hotspur, Jack Butland, who's at Stoke, right? I do believe.
Yes.
Philip Coutinho of Liverpool, Romelu Lukaku at Everton, and then Ross Barkley at Everton. And you don't know who won this, do you?
Yeah, no, this one I do. Dele Alli.
Ah, Dele Alli! He of the punching the player in the midriff, getting a retroactive ban fame now, is your young player of the year. I think that's probably not a surprise to anyone. I do believe, I think he's, I don't know what his final stats are. Maybe you could look that up while I babble on. But for a 19-year-old kid, I mean, wow. Playing for MK Dons, who, oh, by the way, to the amusement and joy of many English fans, Corey, has been relegated out of the championship.
Yeah, there you go.
Franchise club, right? The only franchise in England.
Yeah, American-style franchise club relegated.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Football... traditional footballists rejoice.
No, they were. I mean, I've never seen so many people be like, nobody's sad, except for the MK Dons fans. And I don't know if there, how many there are, really. True and true fans, but MK Dons relegated. But Dele Alli, and when I saw the other people on this list, I'm actually kind of surprised that he won this list, because Kane is in line to win the Golden Boot. Lukaku has been tearing it up, but Everton's had kind of a down season. But there's other names on the list. For a 19-year-old kid to win that in his first year in the English First Division, I think that's an pretty incredible accomplishment. And I think he's just got, as you said, as you can be seen by his 3-game suspension for violent conduct, he's a very skilled player, but he's also got a little bit of edge to him. And I think that's what's going to spur him on to continue to improve and grow as a player.
Yeah, because similar to Vardy, you know, a lot of the Spurs fans and a lot of the English fans talk about Kane. But again, to me, and even at 19 now, Dele Alli would be the bigger miss than Harry Kane. And, you know, from a wannabe coach or general manager standpoint, you know, you offer me one player from Spurs to build a team around, and it would be Dele Alli, not Harry Kane for me.
Yeah, I could see that argument. I don't know if I'd buy that, because Kane is still very good, one of the best all-around players, but Alli has been very valuable, and I don't know. We'll see how valuable he is to the side, because as a 19-year-old kid, he hasn't missed many league games, and so we'll see how big of a miss he is for Spurs in these last 3 matches.
Yeah, just saying that 10 goals from midfield are harder to replace than 20 goals up front, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. No, that's fair. That's a fair comment. So we'll see how he gets along. So, all right, let's get on to this team now. I've done this, so we'll name who made the PFA 11. I'll see if you agree with that, maybe from your eyeball opinion. See who might have also been in the mix. But then me being the analytics guy, I looked up the analytics, who they think is the best player at each position according to who scored and Squawka. And I'll let you know if they match up with your eyeball opinion or who actually was in the PFA team of the year. So are you ready for some football geekdom?
Sure.
All right, your PFA goaltender of the year, Corey, was De Gea out of Manchester United. Does that pass the eye test to you?
Yeah, I can't say I really argue with that. Because, I mean, again, at the end of the day, these are the, you know, these are the footballers or, you know, the fellow footballers' opinions. So, you know, it's their opinion. The little, or not that I mean, obviously I've seen De Gea play a lot more than some of the other keepers. But, yeah, I mean, I can't really go against that one.
Yeah, no, De Gea has been pretty solid this season in my eyes, and he's been behind. I mean, Manchester United have played some good defensive football. That's because they haven't attacked like they have in the past. And so I think the defense in front of them isn't nearly as good as it should be for a club the size of Manchester United. But I don't know if I agree if he should be in there. So, but listen to this. Listen to what the analytics say. De Gea actually is listed as the seventh best keeper in the league, according to both analytics sites. Who scored has Aurelio Gomez as the number one keeper. And then Peter Cech as the number two keeper. And then Squawka has Cech as the number one keeper. Hugo Lloris as the second, as the third, with De Gea in seventh. So I think maybe.
Okay, but what are the analytics that those are based on?
I don't know. With goalkeepers, it is a little hazy, and it's all, you know, a judgment.
Yeah, because I mean, the guy making the most saves is rarely the best keeper.
That's true, and I'm sure with any analytics measurement, the more numbers you put up, the higher your ratings are going to be. So that is kind of the whole. And football, soccer is a game where you just can't really purely look at the numbers.
Yeah, because I mean, just from a completely biased or from a completely potentially biased anecdotal memory standpoint, De Gea has definitely made more world saves than I can remember the other keepers have this year.
And that's probably true.
So, again, they're like you were saying that Man U's defense for their standards has been pretty poor this year, even though statistically they haven't given up that many goals. But like I said, I can definitely remember De Gea saving their bacon on several occasions this year where, you know, he basically won them probably a good 8 to 10 points, if not more, by himself.
No doubt. And I forgot to mention that without De Gea, Manchester United would be nowhere near any European spot. So based on that alone, he probably earns. Oh, they would. They'd be a good 3, 4, maybe 5 places down where they are right now without him. So
yeah, because if one site's rating Aurelio Gomez as a top keeper, guess what? Anybody wants to take Gomez as the number one keeper, they can have him.
That's true. He's prone to a mistake. He makes the spectacular save, but he makes the simple save not very often. All right, let's move on. We got a lot to get through, so we'll have to cut down the talk. But that was a big one. The goalkeeper one I thought was very interesting. Yeah, it's all right.
Especially position deserves a little more talk.
Yes. PFA right back of the year is Bellerin from your Arsenal.
Yeah. Not going to argue. No.
You're not? Okay. Who scored has Cedric Suarez from Southampton as the top-rated right back. But Squawka had Bellerin as the top right back, so I guess you can't argue there. But I will say Kyle Walker could be in the conversation as well, but probably his defense is a lot better this year. But again, a fullback is another position hard to judge because what are you judging? Forward? Are you judging defense? Are you judging both? So it's a hard – modern fullback is a very hard position to evaluate.
Yeah, I was just about to say that the fullback position has changed the most out of any position over the last 15 years. So, you know, it's not like the old days, you know, when I played fullback when everybody was basically a stay-at-home fullback. And if you put a cross in, it was, you know, you were pumping it in from 30 yards, 40 yards deep. But yeah, so Bellerin is definitely a guy that's more perceived as an attacking fullback, but his defense is actually, I think, a lot underrated. But again, kind of like Kyle Walker, what helps him, he's got his pace is so high that a lot of times when he is out of position, you know, he's got that recovery speed that can't be matched by many people in the league.
That's right. All right, moving on. Your first center back and a center back pairing is Alderweireld from Tottenham. Was your PFA. Who scored and Squawka both had Van Dijk out of Southampton as the number one center back in the league.
Interesting.
And I've seen him play. I was pretty impressed with him. And half the time, I was like, who is this guy? I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked him as the top. But, yeah, I mean, he is, like you said, I've been impressed with him when I've seen him.
And that's probably because he – again, these analytics, they look at numbers. He's a very active center back. So I think that's why you see these numbers. They're those who are able to, you know, complete passes, make interceptions, get the headers. Very mobile is the theme here. Mobile center backs.
Yeah, and he's dangerous at set pieces.
That's true too, yes. Very dangerous. All right. Your center back pairing with Alderweireld and the PFA team was Wes Morgan of Leicester. Does he pass your eye test?
Yeah, he's one that I think gets kind of the title, you know, the title team boost because, yeah, he's played well, but, you know, I wouldn't pick him as one of the two top center backs in the league.
And he's also the captain of the presumed champions. Does that help him?
Yeah, especially as much as the English put on the importance of the captaincy position.
Okay.
Did that come out right? I was struggling there.
It did. Now, who scored and Squawka differ on the second center back? Now, this one really surprised me. Who scored had Otamendi from Manchester City.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I know, huh?
Yeah, because he's pretty terrible for a top side.
I was like, holy crap. I know, I was shocked with you. And you'll like this one. Squawka had Koscielny as the number two rated center back.
I mean, he's way better than Otamendi, but yeah, I mean, last couple of years, I might agree with that, but yeah, I don't think I'd put Koscielny as one of the top two center backs in the league, but yeah, he's definitely better than Otamendi. Otamendi's only good when he needs to hack somebody down.
Yeah,
that's his number one trade. Is that foul that you need to make? Or that foul that you don't need to make 30 yards from goal. He's the best at that.
There we go. All right, left back. And this is a surpriser to me, and it should be a surprise to you. I guess not based off the play, but based off perception and where he started from. But Danny Rose from Tottenham Hotspur, PFA left back. And I have to agree, he deserves it 100%. That's how much he's improved.
Yeah, I won't say anything other than, I won't say anything because I'm biased of when Danny Rose started out, and he's still terrible. He's still terrible to me, even though I know he's not.
Yeah, no, he's immense this year. And he was our best defender last year too, which is scary. It's really scary. All right, analytics. Very interesting. Who scored has Christian Fuchs as the best left back, and I guess you probably couldn't argue with that. And I will pat myself on the back. I remember in our transfer show, I was going on and on about Fuchs, and I was like, this is a really good boot for Leicester. People don't understand. And you were like, yeah, whatever, Chad. Why are you so excited? So,
no, it was the guy from Watford.
No, it was Fuchs.
It was Sebastian Prodl from Watford.
Oh, Prodl, too. I'm a big Prodl fan, too, yes. Prodl, Fuchs. But I was very high on Fuchs, and you did not like me being so high. You're like, yeah, whatever, he's just a guy.
I want to go to the tape to that because the only person I pissed on was Sebastian Prodl.
Okay, I remember that. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think I am. All right, Squawka.
No, I'm not doubting you weren't talking up Fuchs. I'm doubting I was pissing on Fuchs.
Okay, that's
like
fair.
I said, the only person I was pissing on was Prodl from Watford.
Gotcha. Squawka had my favorite person to make fun of with his name. And a player on your squad as the best left back in the country in Nacho Monorail.
Yeah, because there again, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely played a lot better than he has the first couple years he was Arsenal. But I don't know. I don't know if I would put him in. And I know a lot of Arsenal brethren are going to jump on me for this, but yeah, I wouldn't put him up there with one of the best in the league.
Okay. Enough said. All right, right wing. This is a clean sweep.
I mean, I don't know, top three maybe, but yeah, I wouldn't put him as the best.
Hey, we're moving on. Right wing.
Okay.
Right wing. Come no surprise, this is one of the few clean sweeps in the PFA team. He won the PFA Player of the Year Award, so this should be no surprise. You're right wing, according to the eyeball test, according to the players, and according to all the statistics, is Mahrez. Was rated as the number one attacking midfielder by anybody on earth, basically.
Yeah, I mean, what else can be said that we haven't said already? I mean, we picked him as the player of the year months ago, like we said earlier. You know, what else can be said? It is well deserved.
All right, moving to central midfield, your first one in the offensive zone. Your PFA center midfielder attacking Dele Alli, who won the Young Player of the Year, so that's not a surprise. But statistics have a differing opinion. Who scored went with Moussa Dembélé.
Yeah, no. Definitely Alli over Dembélé for
me. Yeah, and Dembélé has been great. He's a great possessor of the ball. Could dribble around anybody, and that's probably where he got most of his stats here. But he does lack in creating goals and scoring goals. So it's kind of odd that somebody who has so few assists and so few goals would rate so high in the analytics. And the other one, this is really interesting. Squawka had Barkley of Everton as the number one central midfielder in the attacking mindset or two-way, you know.
Well, and the analytics would love him even more if he would frickin' pass more often.
There we go.
All right. Man, he passes up a lot of open teammates in the box.
Okay. Defensive midfielder. Should come no surprise. Your PFA defensive midfielder of the year, Conte from Leicester.
Yeah, because I don't care. I don't care if the analytics disagree. There's no way anybody – I mean, Conte was the second best player in the league behind Mahrez.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievable. And his analytics, I've never seen analytics like his. They're off the charts for everything.
What's going to say? I mean, you know, the stereotype is, oh, he runs enough for two people, but he literally is almost like, or, you know, he covers enough ground and almost is like having two players. You know, in midfield, as much influence as he can put on a game. So, yeah, I mean, for me, he's the second best player in the league behind Mahrez.
Okay, and it should be no surprise that who scored and Squawka rated him as the number one defensive midfielder in the league by far. Not even close. It's a blowout.
Yeah, and that's – I'm not surprised.
And, again, that's another guy they got for, I think, out of France as well, right? For under £1 million.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And – kind of like Mahrez, but to a greater extent, he was like in the sixth or seventh division in France, like 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But hey, we're not ready for it in this country, right? Can't have that type of competition here. It's just too risky.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the kind of player that, you know, I mean, obviously it helps because of the position he plays, but you know, as much as we sometimes mock people like Bradley for the distance he covers, Conte, the distance he covers, it's all efficient.
That's very true, and that's a good delineation between those two players. All right, left wing. PFA went with Dimitri Payet of West Ham, who had a great year and was someone who I tipped as a great signing for West Ham at the beginning of the year, and he came through, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, you know, my Arsenal brethren would argue Ozil deserved it because of all the assists, which I could understand, but I could also understand the players voting in Payet because, you know, it's kind of, I think in this case, it's a little bit of the newness factor. You know, everybody kind of likes the new girl, you know, to use an analogy. So I think in Payet's case, there's a little bit of that going on. And then, you know, the fact that he scores a few more goals than Ozil, and especially having missed, you know, 6 weeks or 2 months of the season, I think he would have had better stats anyway. So, you know, I personally would have picked Ozil, but at the same time, I could totally understand, you know, Payet getting that position as well.
All right. Well, you're really going to like the analytics. Who scored went with Sanchez in that spot.
You know, Squawka, I imagine it's because of goals.
Yeah, and Squawka went with Ozil.
Yeah, because, I mean, there again, I would, like I said, I would have picked Ozil, but at the same time, since it's the players voting on it, I definitely think there's a little bit of the new girl factor or whatever you want to call that.
Okay, gotcha. All right, now we're down to the strikers. Basically, if you didn't know, we're kind of playing force-feeding people into a 4-4-2 even though nobody but Lester plays a – well, even Lester doesn't play 4-4-2. Nobody plays a 4-4-2.
Well, they play 4-4-2 most of the year.
Well, yeah.
In spite of, you know, again, no right tactics, no right formations. Lester makes 4-4-2 work because of execution, not strategy. Yes,
that's true. And I think you had that conversation with someone on Twitter, which I thought it was a great conversation. And it shows, again, as we said, formations don't matter. It's players. It's players and execution, and it's being – football's so fluid, but you're right. You don't hear anybody saying, "Oh, how is Lester doing this playing a 4-4-2?" No one's saying that.
And it's not just a soccer thing. It's all sports. There's no such thing as right or wrong tactics. It's a matter of execution.
No, you're right. Well, there are. I mean, as I said, for you to blame a loss on tactics or strategy, it has to be such an egregious mistake. It has to be really, really, really egregious. The bar is so high that it's almost impossible to be that incompetent, in my opinion. That's how I view it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, technically speaking, 2-3-5 could still work if you had forward players that ran enough.
That's true. Maybe we'll bring that back. That was some good stuff back in the day. People playing 5 or 6 strikers at one time. That's awesome. All right.
Because again, people still can't make up their mind on the 3-4-3 if the wide players are fullbacks or midfielders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just all a matter of running.
Run! They're runners. They're athletes, right? Hashtag athlete.
Well, yeah, well, if they put in a poor cross, they're a fullback. If they put in a good cross, they're a midfielder, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. All right, we're to the strikers, and the strikers should be no surprise. PFA, first half of your striking partnership, Vardy was your winner.
Yeah, I mean, Vardy, it's going to be Vardy and Kane. And I don't think anybody else, you know, I don't think anybody else has a case.
Okay, that's fine. And we'll tell you, Vardy and Kane were your striker partnership, according to the PFA. And here's who scored and Squawka went with. And now this is where anytime you're playing with, you know, your forward/wing player, it's all kind of mixed, jumbled bag of, well, you know, who plays what position. Mm-hmm. But who scored went with Payet and Ozil as a strike force? They had him listed as strikers, so that's what I went with. And then Squawka.
And I definitely wouldn't consider either one of those a striker.
No, more of a central attacking midfielder. Yeah, true. And then Squawka went with Sanchez and Kane.
Yeah, and Sanchez isn't a natural striker either.
Oh, he's not an out-and-out striker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other person you could even make a legitimate case for would be Lukaku, and like I said, that's still not even a legitimate case compared to Vardy and Kane to me. Because like I said, to me, it's Vardy and Kane are by far the two best strikers in the league, and everybody else is chasing shadows, as it were.
Yeah, but I did see some interesting statistic-wise. I know his team has had a down season, in quotes, and he's had a down season, in quotes. But when you look at per-game averages in terms of goal scoring, creating chances, shots, all that stuff, Aguero actually has better per-game metrics than Kane and Vardy. But he just, you know, kind of struggled at times and had some injuries. So it's kind of interesting that he wasn't in the mix in any of these analytics, probably because of the injury issue. But he's perceived to have a down year, but he really hasn't when you look at it game per game.
Yeah, and I think with Aguero's case, it's kind of a how's the English saying go? It's a flat-track bully. I think he's kind of been perceived this year to kind of pad his stats in certain games where, you know, City's already won and he's tacked on a couple goals in some of those games, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I think, again, these are PFA votes. So I think he's hurt because, you know, Man City's not going to win the title. So the players just perceive that he's had the off year and, you know.
No, that's right. And as you look at this with anything, if the more you win, the more you're going to be represented. But we have 3 or 4 Leicester players. Right, first place Leicester, 4 players on the squad, and then 4 players on the squad from Tottenham, second place. So that's what it comes down to. And if Man U and Manchester City were 1 and 2, guess what? Most of them would be the bulk of this team. So winning does have a lot to do with individual awards for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of falls along the lines of, you know, what my high school football coach used to tell us is like, don't worry about who makes all district or not. You know, if we win district, you're technically all district. So who cares whether or not you get the actual patch from the paper or not?
Ooh, I like that. Very good. So there is your PFA breakdown. I wanted to do that because I haven't heard anybody really discussing it. So we hope you enjoyed that. And if you have any opinions on any snubs or people who didn't deserve to be on there, let us know. We'd love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, because personally, I think this was the first year that, like I said, I couldn't really argue with any of the picks. I think, you know, I think this, the players this year, like I said, I think they all had really legitimate cases. So, like I said, not too much to argue with from my opinion.
Okay, now we get down to the real meat of the show. You're the end of Corey.
Yeah.
Your scouting report.
Yeah, literally the meat of the show.
Beer and po' boys from down in NOLA. What was the scene like down at the old jazz festival this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, people, I think if you've never been to the Jazz and Heritage Music Festival, one of the big things is actually, you know, because nothing is done in NOLA without food or drink. But, yeah, one of the good things about going to Jazz Fest is they have a huge food section. And I was, you know, eagerly awaiting the duck po' boy all year long, but kind of like Arsenal this year, the duck po' boy was very disappointing. But again, not bad, very disappointing, too salty, too much thyme or rosemary or something. So where last year it was a 10, it would have been the PFA po' boy of the year. This year I only have to give it a 6, maybe a 6.5, because, you know, I like duck. But yeah, I would have to go with the po' boy of the year this year was the lamb sausage po' boy.
Ooh.
Which I'd never seen before.
Ooh.
And it wasn't a Cajun po' boy. It was still done in the Mediterranean seasoning style. And it was freaking delicious. It was nice and earthy, kind of peppery, a real thick, meaty sausage. It was freaking delicious. Could have used a little bit of, lettuce and tomato, what we call dressed down there. You know, when you get a po' boy, they ask you if you want it dressed or not. That means lettuce and tomato on it. So it could have used some lettuce and tomato, but sausage itself was freaking delicious.
Very good.
Yeah, and as far as the beer, the beer from down south is disappointing because, you know, again, all my buddies from down south are going to hate me, but I'm sorry, people. West Coast and Northwest, they do the beer right. They have the balance, the best balanced beer, the hoppiest beers, and they're delicious. So the beer, you know, I still love my Abita from back home, but you know, the wrought iron IPA is good, but you know, 3.5 out of 5, it's nowhere near the Stone or the Lagunitas IPAs. So, you know, beer is still a little disappointing, but you know, still win in Rome. I'm still going to drink it all down there. So it was good, but you know, doesn't compete. Or can't compete with the West Coast stuff.
And I think many people would agree. And man, you talking about that. I am going to commit right now on air to go to Jazz Fest next year.
Hey,
I'm coming down.
Yeah, because, you know, even if I don't quit my job and move back down there this summer, I'm probably going to go down anyway because
you'll be back. Yeah. So I'm going next year. I'm committing myself.
First weekend. Go first weekend, not second weekend.
Yeah. Did you get to see any, what were the acts? What was the highlight musical wise?
I didn't go see Steely Dan on Friday like I was originally supposed to because my plans for Friday fell through. But Saturday I went and saw Galactic, which is a,
yeah.
Anybody that doesn't know Galactic, they're a New Orleans funk rock group that's pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw Galactic and Pearl Jam Saturday, and we tried to go see his name just jumped out of my head. Brown Eyed Girl guy, what's his name? Van Morrison. We tried to go see Van Morrison, but the crowd was too packed by the time we walked over there, so we only saw Galactic and Pearl Jam.
Okay, very good. I remember we saw Pearl Jam when I was there last.
Yes.
I remember that. Pearl Jam is awesome live.
Yeah, so as much as I think Pearl Jam is overrated, you know, on the radio or, you know, on CD or whatever, album or MP3, whatever you want to call it, or however you, you know, intake your music, live they are very good.
All right. And of course, our favorite musician jointly will be closing down the Jazz Fest this weekend.
That's right, Trombone Shorty.
That's right. So you should go. If you've never been, you should go in the second weekend just to see Trombone Shorty. But you got to go on Sunday, right? You got to go Sunday to see the Shorty.
Well, and local disclaimer, if you go on second weekend, prepare to fight crowds because the second second weekend is the Madhouse weekend.
Yeah, so first weekend. So maybe we'll get a TDY Fest down there for the first weekend.
Well, yeah, even this year, because Pearl Jam was playing on Saturday, Saturday's crowd was almost like a second weekend crowd. There were so many people.
Wow, all right. So, great. And again, if you haven't been down there, check it out. It's great. You talked about a lot of rock bands, but the key is I'm a jazz geek. It's all the small little tents where you get the unknown, or at least unknown to the mainstream world, all the jazz people where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I saw so-and-so. All the unknown, less popular actual jazz artists are great as well.
Yeah, and one of my favorites is the gospel tent. But yeah, because of the crew I was with on Saturday, I didn't get a chance to check out the gospel tent.
Heathens!
Well, really, and again, when your friends pick out a spot in the middle of the sea of fans at a place like the Acura stage, which is where all the big acts play, it's like I said, if you try to walk out of there by yourself, it's either going to take a while or, you know, you're kind of taking your life in your hands walking through that sea of people. So
yeah, no, I remember we were there last time and we were like clear in the back for the Pearl Jam show. And I went to get a beer and it took me an hour and a half to find you guys again.
Yeah.
I was gone a long time.
Yeah, and the other couple that me and my friends were with, it was their first Jazz Fest. So it was one of those, you know, you don't want to walk around too much because, you know, the newbies can get lost pretty easily.
Yeah. I went rogue and I lost the herd and could have gotten taken out by a tiger or a lion or something. It's a bad idea.
Or just get lost in the myriad, you know, the umpteen po' boy booths.
Exactly. So I said, screw it. And I think I did went and got some type of food. I don't remember what exactly. But it was good. Might have been a shrimp po' boy. I'm pretty sure. That's what I got when I got lost.
Yeah, I mean, they're all good at Jazz Fest. So.
All right, boys and girls. Well, glad Corey's back. We'll be back sometime next week to talk about Pro Rel Week. So remember, look that up. Hashtag Pro Rel Week will be in full swing. And we'll have perhaps a Leicester title to talk about. And I'm going to talk about it to jinx them.
Yeah.
They're surely going to win the title at Old Trafford.
Going to have to lose all three.
It's a slam dunk they're going to win. Yeah. Until the four Man U penalties they're going to get. No.
Oh, yeah. Is Mike Riley reffing this match? Because, yeah, they'll get the penalties at 83, 87, and 90 plus two.
Yeah. I don't know.
Three penalties inside the last 10 minutes. Controversy.
Oh, I like it. I'm up for it. So, all right, boys and girls, glad Corey's back. Glad you're all back listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed this PFA talk, and we will be back soon to break down some more footy. So for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith saying see you next time.
No Vardy, bigger party.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at twodaftyanks.com or at Two Daft Yanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.